You can go ahead and open up to Mark 16 again. He's still not quite through with this message about he confirms his word. Because I kept thinking about the mind of Christ today and how it flowed through Alan also. And Alan went to great lengths to show us from the word how sometimes the supernatural can work. And I don't mean the bad, I mean where God is working supernaturally through people. Could be men or women. Yet, they're pretty flaky. And he got it out of 1 Corinthians, which is the flaky church in the Bible. It's the one that Paul said was like children. They were babies. They were split, carnal, divided. He said, I'd like to give you meat. I can't give you meat. All I can do is give you milk. Yet, there was, he said, you come behind in no gift. I mean, they were operating in the gifts. Yet, their doctrines were way off, and there was rampant sin in the church, even worse than the heathen allow normally. And he said, well, how can this be? How can God be, how can he show up with supernatural, like a word of knowledge, a miracle, gift of healing, yet there be that kind of error in the people? And so, again, just you ought to listen to Alan's message. I thought he did a masterful job. And so then I come along after that and the message that I had for today, which I had, by the way, before I heard, I already had it printed before I got here. And it was about God confirming his word. He doesn't really confirm men. See, that's the thing. So if you found Mark 16, and just look at verse 20, they went forth and preached everywhere. Now, I'm going to read it like the King James has it. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Now, the word them in your Bible is in italics, at least it should be, because that word is not in the original Greek. Sometimes the translators, they would try and help us by inserting a word that they thought would help bridge the understanding from the Greek language to the English language. Well, this time I'm not sure it helped us so much. Because to me, I just mark that out. I just draw a line right through it because I know it's not in the original. So when you read it like this, it says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. See, the Lord works with the word. What he confirms is the word. So if you had a messed up preacher in Corinth, and maybe they got all kinds of greed still, they haven't had time for the mortification message, but yet the part that they preach that's true, that is the word, the Lord will confirm the word. Now what most people do is when they see that happening, we tend to put our endorsement on the minister. Say, isn't that right? Well, if God is confirming, I mean, here he's preaching and God's moving, so he must be right. Dave likes to tell about this particular minister that he knew down in Florida. It's not Bronk. No, this was a long time ago. I know the name, but I'm not going to say it. But he said, you could not deny the miracles in this guy's services. He had healings. You could have doctors there. In fact, sometimes they did. And when it came to the working of miracles and the gifts of healings, this guy, there was no denying it. Even it's a bona fide healing. It's a bona fide miracle, you know. And he was also a real good evangelist. That usually goes hand in hand, that miracles and healings and evangelism. But that same guy, you'd get in his line and get healed. In that same service, before it's over, he'd want to sell you a prophecy for $300. How many of you know that's not God? God does not charge for his prophecies. Good Lord, all of the scams down through the years, you know. Yeah, this is water that was drawn from the River Jordan. We're pretty sure it's right where Jesus was baptized. And if you sprinkle this water, you know, you'll get all those scams. How many have you ever had there was one time that had sand from around the Sea of Galilee, if I remember right. Some kind of sand, or maybe it was from Nazareth. I don't know. And the thing of it is, some of those same people that would do those things were known for miracles. They were known for healings. So let's be very careful when you look at this word. It says, they went forth. They were the 11 that he was talking to. They went forth, and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with and confirming them. Is that what it says? The Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. Don't ever get that mixed up. God does not really confirm men. Now, when I say that, I hesitate a little because he gives me confirmation all the time in the sense that he's in my corner. God's in your corner. He'll encourage you. He'll help you. He'll train you. He'll motivate you. He'll forgive you. He'll lead you. He'll all of it provide for you. But he does not really confirm you. And let me show you, put you in remembrance. I don't know how often Dave said this from the pulpit. I just don't remember. Nathan would probably remember better than me. But I do know that I've heard Dave say this many times back in the room with the ministers, maybe at lunch. Y'all tell me if you've heard this. Maybe he said it from the pulpit. I don't remember. He would often say, now remember, you can fall from any level at any time. Y'all have heard that? So he did say it from the pulpit also. I know he would say that pretty regular with us guys. He said, now you just need to remember. See, and that's why God doesn't really confirm men. He confirms his word with signs following. Now, for example, let's go over to 2 Peter just for a minute, chapter 1. Really, the verse I'm after is verse 10, but I just can't hardly do it anymore. Let's read the verses leading up to it. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. So this letter is not written to sinners, is it? This letter is written to believers, Christians. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. This is one of my best. This verse is becoming one of my favorites for defining the new nature. He says, it's by these promises is how you partake of the divine nature. So now I'm calling it DNA, divine nature attributes. This is what you have, and you partake of it by these exceeding great and precious promises. Okay? Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, in other words, okay, you've already a partaker now of the divine nature. Now he says, besides this, giving all diligence. Does the word diligence sound like lazy, this will happen whether I do anything or not? No, it's diligence. Giving all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. And that's the very love of God. This is Peter's version of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is the walk into love. And he's showing you, it's really a Peter's version of how do you walk into God's love. Because that's the end result. You're walking into the divine love, okay? That we need to do a whole seminar on that passage, and I believe we will someday. But we're after something for tonight. For if these things, what things? The things that he just listed there. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see far off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, are these next words in your Bible? You shall never fall. But what if you don't give diligence to those things? See, I know that many Christians believe once saved, always saved. They believe in eternal security. I don't know what kind of Bible they're reading. I don't know what kind of Bible. Right there he says, you can plainly say, if you do these things, you'll never fall. If words mean anything, if you don't do them, you got a chance of falling. And that's why God doesn't confirm men. He that endures to the end shall be saved. Now, even as I say that, God has mercy on backsliders. I mean, don't ask me how I know. You already know how I know. And you can backslide to a lot of different degrees, and God has mercy. You can even go back to the old covenant where he says, he calls through the prophets, "Oh, return to me, backsliding Israel. I will abundantly pardon. I will have mercy. Just return to me and confess and turn from your wicked ways." See? But if you don't think it's possible not to fall and stay fallen and miss heaven, you're reading some different Bible than I have. Because that is exactly what he's talking about. Just get a second witness. By two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to look at Paul now. And Paul plainly said, follow me. What's the rest of that verse? Well, follow me as I follow the Lord. Well, what if Paul quits following the Lord? See what I'm saying? What if Paul... I love how he worded that. Follow me as I follow the Lord. Well, I'm going to do that. If you quit following the Lord, I'm going to quit following you. See? Because I'm not really interested in following you. I'm interested in following the Lord. All right? So Paul himself, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, let's start in verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, if we had time, we'd read the context right here. He's talking about the Olympics. He's talking about the games. And he's saying these athletes, they strive for the mastery. They want to win the game. So they're temperate, how they treat their body. You know, you don't eat donuts and going to win the track run, okay? He says, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. We're in a race also. Okay. Now listen to this. I, the apostle Paul, therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. You ever hear of shadow boxing? You know, this kind of goes along with what I was saying earlier this morning and Wednesday night. It's fine to study boxing or karate. Let's do karate again. It's fine to study karate. It's okay. I think, you know, you can read books about it. You can watch videos about it. You maybe could even get in like some training. But if you never get in a karate fight, Mike Tyson says everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. See, he says, I'm not doing this to just shadow box. Paul says, I'm in a real war. I'm in a real fight. Now notice, he says, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beats the air, just shadow boxing. You know what Paul's not interested in playing church. You hearing me? He's interested in people getting genuinely saved, getting genuinely delivered from devils, getting genuinely healed from whatever it is that's afflicting them. He's in a real fight. Now, here it is, verse 27. But I, in other words, like the athletes that are in the Olympics, I keep under my body, and I bring it unto subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That word castaway in Strong's is G96. It's nearly always in the King James Bible translated reprobate. It's the same Greek word for that's normally translated reprobate, and it means unapproved, rejected, worthless. How strong is this word? You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. It's the exact same word used in Romans 1:28 when Paul said, he's talking about these people that did not want to retain God in their knowledge. He said, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Paul is plainly saying, I have to watch it myself. Let me quote Pastor Dave again. You can fall from any level at any time. We're not going to fall. But this is why God does not confirm men. God calls men. He appoints men. He anoints men. But He doesn't confirm men. But that's what we do. When we see that God's supernatural power working through a man, we nearly always confirm the man. God's not confirming the man. God is confirming His Word. He's confirming His Word. You got that? All right, go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'm going to have to go there myself with you. Paul again talking about the end times. If we're not in the end times, I think actually we're in the end of the end times myself. Now, we've got doing pretty good. We've got time for this. We're going to do two chapters. How many have faith that we can make it? 2 Timothy chapter 3. See, it's so hard for me. My eye just, I couldn't help it. It looked over into the second into the first column. He gives an example. Go over to chapter 2, verse 15, just for a minute. He says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Why? Rightly dividing the word of truth. But now shun, that means stay away from profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more, what? See, the word will always lead you deeper into God. It will lead you more into godliness. But men and their opinions normally tend to more ungodliness. And he gives you an example right here, verse 17. And their word will eat as does a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred. Now that means they're preaching something different from the word. You got that? They're saying that the resurrection is past already. And overthrow the face of some. See, if you're telling them, oh, the resurrection's already over, you might as well just, you know, eat, drink, and be merry. Doesn't matter now. Well, that's going to tend towards ungodliness. You see it? Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Now, with that thinking in mind, let's pick up his chapter 3 here where I was going to start. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, this doesn't sound like our generation at all. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, which means greedy, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. If you watch the news today and listen to all the political correctness, all of us Christians are bigots and haters because we call sin, sin. We love the truth, and if it's sin, we're going to say it's sin. Well, they are despisers of you. They despise you for doing that. Verse 4, traitors, heady, high-minded, boy, get this, if this isn't this generation, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, if you underline, for the love of God, please underline, having a form of godliness. If you read that whole passage there, you tend to think about absolute pagan heathen offering up some kind of witch brew to Satan. No. These are people that have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. What do you mean denying the power thereof? It's not just talking here about power to raise the dead, power to heal the sick, power to cast out devils. It's talking about the power to walk free from sin. And I'm telling you, nearly every one of those, the foundation will be, you're just an old sinner saved by grace. Have a form of godliness, but there is no power to set you free from sin. That is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is not the gospel that was delivered to the early church. He came to set you free, and whom the Son sets free is free indeed. That's the power of the gospel. It's not only the power to heal, it's the power to save, the power to cause you to have the grace of God, which is not, God's grace didn't come to cover your sin. God's grace come to empower you to walk free from it. See, that's the real power of God. But anyway, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women. I'll tell you right now, they lead silly men too. Laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, boy, he draws a really good parallel here. He says, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, tradition tells us, not the Bible, but tradition says, these are the names of the two sorcerers in Pharaoh's court. You remember when they threw down Moses' rod, which is really Aaron's rod? They threw it down and it became a snake. And those guys, they threw down their rods and they become snakes. Remember that? Tradition says that's the names of those two guys. It may be so, I don't know. But he's saying, those two guys, they withstood Moses. Let me ask you, if you withstood Moses, were you withstanding God? Absolutely you were. They're resisting the work of God. As James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, now notice, here's that word again, reprobate concerning the faith. The same word when Paul said, I myself could be a castaway. Do you think James and Jambres was saved? No answer at all. Crickets. Did you hear the crickets? I know they weren't saved like we talk about saved. What I mean is, I don't think they made it. I don't think they made it. And the definition of them, he's using them as an example of somebody who is reprobate. And that's why Paul says, I keep my body under. I keep it under. By the power of my new nature, I keep it under. Because I know it's possible that even after I've preached to others, I myself, if I don't walk in temperance. One of those things was temperance, which is self-control. He said, I myself could wind up being reprobate, rejected, disapproved, cast away. I'm going to remind you again, Pastor Dave says, remember. He used it with a lot of love. You know, he'd say, now remember, boys, you can fall from any level at any time. Isn't this a shouting message? I know you guys are glad you came out tonight. But now look, they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. In other words, hey, they tried to show off. They might could duplicate that miracle, and I think they duplicated one or two more. But by the time the 10 plagues was over, they were shown to be, they had no power compared to God. He said, it's going to be the same way here. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, my faith, my long-suffering, charity, patience. You could almost compare this list with what Peter wrote over there that we read a while ago. These virtues that have developed in Paul's life so that he won't fall. And then he talks about the persecutions, the afflictions which came unto me at Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Now, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men... Remember, evil men that have a form of godliness. He hadn't changed the subject. These men that have a form of godliness, but here he says, evil men and seducers, the false teachers, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, and for correction. In the politically correct generation that we're in right now, you just try and reprove somebody. You'll find out about a little persecution. See? Don't you dare correct me. Don't you judge me. You hear it all the time. Don't you judge me. But see, the Word of God, if you give them the Word of God, it's the Word that brings doctrine, reproof, and correction. And instruction in righteousness. But it's the Word, not the men, really. Now, God uses men and women to deliver it, but it's the Word that judges you. Jesus said on that day, he says, I don't judge you. It's really not the Father. But on that day, the Word that I have spoken, it shall judge you. Isn't that right? It's the Word. That the man of God may be perfect, that means mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And boy, here we are. Chapter 4. Now this is the last chapter of the last book. Or let's say it this way. The last chapter of the last letter that Paul will ever write on planet Earth. He knows. This is 2 Timothy. He knows he's going to be executed. This is the last thing he writes for his legacy, his Timothy that he trained and brought up under him. And look what he says. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. What's the charge? Preach the word. Preach the word. God confirms his word with signs following. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. What does that mean? When they like you, when they don't like you. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the year 2017 will come when they will not endure. Okay. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. If you don't believe me, look around the room. Sorry. Was that too hard? But after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Now, why is the word lust and teachers combined and itching ears in that? They want to hear that which satisfies their lusts. How can I get more of God's blessings? Well, God's not against you having His blessings, but that's not what your life is supposed to be about. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto you. But you're not supposed to use the gospel to serve the fleshly lusts. But they want to hear it. Heap up teachers. See? Verse 4. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. We quote this at the end of Calling in the Lost nearly every week. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And I have kept the faith. Boy, that's what I want to be able to say on that day. That's what I want to be able to say that. And what I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to unto all them also that love His appearing. What God is calling us to. Not everybody, just like Alan said this morning. I love that analogy of the video camera operator. I mean, what we need is every part of the body doing exactly what God called them to do. And he gave that analogy. You know, people are watching worldwide as the revival. They're watching the miracles. And all of a sudden, the camera just points up at the ceiling. And they can't see nothing. Why? Because the cameraman all of a sudden got a little jealous of people up on the line. Oh, if I'm not anything if I'm not up on the line. So, in other words, he's trying to do something that he's not. That'd be like my kidney trying to be a lung. My kidney ain't no lung. There should be no competition between the parts of the body. And because the cameraman does what he's supposed to do, now the whole world can see and be influenced by the revival. It's just as important as anything else. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So what God's calling us to do now, I appreciate Pastor Dave. I appreciate Alan and Nathan and all Jim Martin and Bronk and all of these people. I appreciate them. I learn from them. Iron sharpens iron. But I'm going to follow them as they follow the Lord. But if they quit following the Lord. How many of you know about Jim Jones? Remember years ago and they wound up in Guyana? And he wound up, you know, it was a cult. Eventually it was a cult and they wound up drinking the Kool-Aid. That's where we get that phrase, oh, you drank the Kool-Aid. Because they thought they were obeying God. And there was like 300 of them, several hundred of them. And they gave it to their kids. Yeah. Now, how deceived do you have to be to give your kids strychnine and know you're doing it? And think you're pleasing God? I mean, you talk about deception like it's talking here. But now, Norville, I never will forget when I heard Norville say this. He said, I knew Jim Jones before he got off. I used to preach in Jim Jones' church in the early days. He didn't start off like that. He started off right. And he was getting people saved, getting people healed. He was leading a holy life. But something in him, and Norville wasn't sure, but he says something in him wanted something more. And it didn't happen overnight, but little by little by little, he changed to the point I couldn't walk with him anymore. And I couldn't preach for him anymore. He didn't want to hear from me anymore. And little by little, he said it wasn't overnight, but eventually he got so far off that he wound up leading all those people in that tragedy in Guyana. Paul is plainly saying, I'm going to watch myself. I'm going to keep my body under. I'm running a race like somebody in the Olympics. See, we're running a race here. We know what the flag is. It's a Tulsa revival flag. He's got us in a race for revival. And we're going to have to watch it even, I'll tell you now, you're going to have to watch it even more when the power is being manifested through you more. That's when we find out if you're dead or not. What I mean is mortified or not. That's when you find out if you're still being moved by the applause of man. You don't think the devil's going to come with temptation regarding money? He will. Lust of other things. That's why all this preparation time ahead of time, he doesn't want any of us to fall. Now, I want to say it again. God confirms his word. He does not confirm men. You got that? He calls men. He appoints men. Now, and when I say men, mankind. He calls men and women. He calls people. He anoints people. He appoints them. He leads them. But he does not confirm them. He's not doing it because you say it. He's doing it because his word says it. And when you say what his word says, now he confirms his word. But even as he does that, he's not confirming you. Now see, the flip side of that is, that's really encouraging. Because his word is perfect and you are not. Have you figured that out yet? See, he's delivering us from this mindset, oh, I've got to be perfect before it's going to work. No, you don't. His word is perfect. His word is perfect. Now, he is trying to get us to the point where we don't fall. He doesn't want any of us falling. It's so quiet in here. Are you just paying attention? Hallelujah. I'm seeing, listen, we have some great, great days ahead. I don't know what they'll hold in the way of buildings and that type of thing. I don't know that, but I do know this. God cannot lie. And we have pursued him, studied his word, sought his word, spent times in the crucible of the Holy Ghost, letting the flesh be purged away in the motivations of the flesh, and we shall have revival. We are coming into the greatest time, and everything in the natural looks like the opposite of that. That doesn't move me at all. What moves me is this word. And he says, if you seek, you will find. If you knock, the door will be open. Isn't that right? If you ask, he will give unto you. And he was talking about bread that we could deliver to others. He says, I'll give you that Holy Ghost. Now, we already had the Holy Ghost in our belly, but we are learning how to release the bread through the power of the Holy Ghost to a lost and dying world. Okay, I keep getting this instruction. I need to finish because there's going to be people, if I leave it just where it is about being reprobate and a reprobate mind, it's going to put them in fear because we got some really backslidden people out there. Okay. Now, the end of that lesson, and again, you'd have to go back and listen to Dave teach it. See, Dave would say it like this to the backslider that's really backslidden. When you become a reprobate, it's not that God wouldn't take you back. See, as long as there's something in you that wants to come back, he'll take you back. When you become reprobate, it's not that he wouldn't take you back. But you come to that point, there's nothing in you that wants to go back. You become reprobate. That's when it says God gave them over to a He dealt with them. He dealt with them. He dealt with them. But the way it's worded, and God gave them over. If that's what you want, if sin and the world is what you want, eventually he'll give you over to a reprobate mind. And once you've gone there, it's not that he wouldn't take you back. So listen, if you heard the early part of this, oh God, have I become reprobate? Do you still love God? Do you still want to serve him? Return to him. Even in the old covenant, he says, return to me, O backsliding Israel. I will abundantly pardon. I will have mercy. Just forsake your wicked ways. Return unto me. Amen? Just repent. Repent. Go to the blood, 1 John 1:9. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But mean it. Repent. Come. Don't run from Him. Run to Him. If there's something in you that says, oh, I'm backslid, and I know I'm backslid, but boy, I want God. I still want God. This is your day. Repent. Return to Him. You backslider. I was a backslider. I returned to Him too. But I never left Him again. And that's a long time ago. And you don't have to ever leave Him again either. So if you're concerned, don't be concerned. Let's all join together. There's somebody, this is life to them right now. Just, if you're a backslider and you know you're not really walking with Him like you should, this is your prayer. Just say, Father, forgive me. I am so sorry. You might need to repent. Say, Lord, I'm not going to go to those clubs anymore. I'm not going to do that alcohol anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. Repent means repent. It doesn't mean be sorry and keep doing it. It means stop it. And it might be hard. It might be hard for a while. You know, you build up addictions. But you can repent and see, and He'll help you walk out of it. He will walk with you right out of it all. But just mean it. Return to Him. Just say, Father, I confess all that is sin. I am sorry. Lord, receive me again. Wash me in the blood of the Lamb. Wash me fresh in the blood. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from unrighteousness. I want to live with You, God. I want to walk with You, Lord. And He will abundantly pardon and receive you. Amen. You're not reprobate as long as there's something in you that still wants Him. The flame, it might be weak, but it has not been extinguished. You can return to Him. Amen? Amen. All right.